Hello and welcome. You're listening to Writers Aloud, a podcast brought to you by writers for the Royal Literary Fund in London. Hello and welcome to episode 41 of Writers Aloud. In this episode, the non-fiction writer and novelist Max Adams takes us on a long-distance walk through the wilds from Northumberland to Paisley in this two-week audio travel diary.
I had an idea to visit friends on my 51st birthday. Our anniversaries fall within a single week at the end of May. In an act of self-liberation, I'd got rid of my car, so I decided to walk. Wistful images in my head of pink and white hedgerow flowers, the exuberant emerald of beech trees in early leaf, of the twittering of randy songbirds and the smell of wild garlic. Why not? What better way to take a good long look at oneself at a time in life when contemporaries are fretting about pension fund deficits, children's university fees and their diet stroke gym membership? My friends live in Paisley, just southwest of Glasgow's Great Wen. I live in the old sword-making village of Shotley Bridge on the Northumberland-Durham border, and when I got a bunch of maps out to plot a route, I realised I'd be following a path which countless pilgrims, drovers, eloping couples and fugitives must already have beaten over the 70 previous generations since the Roman legions last passed this way. Taking the back roads and hill trails of the borders, I reckon it's a good 180 miles. A trip which used to take me just under 3 hours in the car will now be one of about 11 days.
Monday, 14th May. Right, that's it. I'm going. 25 past 11, all kitted up. Everything's in the pack. And if it's not in the pack, it's not going. Been to the dentist. Done the washing up, turned all the electrics off. And I might as well just get on with it now. Ugh, heavy pack. It's sunny out there, but the wind is brisk. That's it. Paisley, here we come. Really is an exceedingly pretty road, this. Yeah, all the greens are nice and saturated after the rain, and there's hazel, that pheasant in the background, hazel and beech, and I'm climbing up the bank of the West Dipton Burn. It gets you a bit out of breath carrying a heavy pack up a hill, but not a problem. I'm now, well, firstly, I'm in the lee of the Great Keel, the forest. It's an extraordinary thing. You get this amazing sense that you're on the edge of an immense body of landscape into which, if you dared to venture, you could get seriously lost for a very long time and probably not come out again. It's an extraordinary thing. Just here, it's all Sitka spruce, incredibly dense. And I'm running along the edge of it. It's very, very rutted, boggy territory. You have to keep sort of jumping from one rut to another to try and avoid the worst of the bog. So I've got almost wet feet now. Anyway, more than that, the sun has come out and it's a rather pleasant late afternoon. Don't know what the time is. Gone five, I should think. Progress has been slow. Pretty long and tiring day, but I hope I'm not going to be too stiff tomorrow. I have a slight suspicion that rigor mortis might set in when I get to Stonehoff, but there you go. The view out in front now is a sort of wonderful golden, yellowy, bluey, greeny panorama with cumulus clouds heading west to east. The light is just stunning against the dry stone walls, and sheeps and distant hills that go on forever. You can see, well, you can certainly see into Scotland now, which is, I suppose, well, it's going to take me 2 days. So it's about 30 miles away. And I can see all of that. The day could have been a lot worse. So, and I'm another couple of hundred metres and I'll be on a little road and hopefully wind my way up to Stonehof. So, yes, well, here we are. I say we. Here I am. Stonehof campsite in the middle of Kielder Forest, and in front of me is a very large field with nobody else in it. Two fields, in fact. Rather well kept, nicely mown. There are a few blessed tables, one of which I've dragged over to where I am, and under some trees, horse chestnuts, I think. Yeah, I had my pick of pitches because there's not a single other soul on the campsite. There's a shower block, which is very nice. Has hot water, family bathroom, soap, and loo roll, for all love. And a wind turbine, which I know some previous visitors have moaned about, but, well, you know, it's a wind turbine, isn't it? Had a squall when I got here, but I'd already rigged the tarp and the tent, and so that was all okay. I found plenty of dead sticks for the stove. The stove worked perfectly well. I had a cup of tea first, which was wonderful. Then cooked my mackerel, garlic, vegetable puree and rice. And apart from the fact I could have eaten about three helpings, it was excellent. And the stove worked perfectly well. Had a large coffee with cream to follow it up. And I've had a wash. I'm going to powder me feet, if not me nose. Still haven't got everything dry. But c'est la vie. It's, you know, it's a damp May and things aren't going to dry very easily. And it's been a long day. I'm stiff, tired, sore. We'll see how I feel in the morning. But, you know, there's another 25 Ks to do tomorrow. So I'm going to check my map now. And then hit the sack, I think. Oh, and I have to say that somewhere behind me on my right, there in the woods, there is a cuckoo calling. First cuckoo I've heard in May for many a year. So it's rather nice. It clearly is not going to call when the microphone's on. So you'll just have to believe me. Wednesday, May the 16th, Kielder Forest, 5:30 in the evening. Well, you can hear the rain. Yeah, it's been a strange day, really. This morning was fabulous. Lovely blue skies. Not particularly warm, but it was nice when the sun was out. Bit of plooshing and splodging. Crossing some little valleys with blue-brown rivers running through them, which was lovely. Goodness, the hours seem to sort of blend into one. I decided to avoid the Pennine Way, mainly because it's just so boggy and tedious. So I thought I'd just get some miles on the clock. So anyway, yeah, I had a great morning and got to Bellingham about 11:45. And first thing I did was go into the cafe and order myself a cup of tea, a can of Coke, and sausage, egg, chips and beans, which was very, very satisfactory. So I enjoyed that. Wrote up my diary for the morning and thought I'd press on fairly quickly. So I went to the greengrocer's, had a chat with a girl there who said the forecast is pretty awful until the middle of June, which is another month away. So that wasn't very encouraging, but she was very nice. I got myself a kiwi fruit and some tomatoes and a couple of apples and some satsumas. So that's my vitamin C sorted. And then I went to the pasty shop, more importantly, and got a couple of pasties and a couple of Snickers bars. Then I went to the co-op, got another tin of mackerel, some peanuts. Anyway, I stocked up. And the other thing was that in the cafe, I asked the woman if I could fill me water bottles, and she very kindly took them into the kitchen and filled them, because I'm not confident that I'll be finding water in the next couple of days. So anyway, the result of that was that when I left Bellingham, I was pretty heavily laden. But, you know, it's okay. I mean, apart from the fact I'm wet, my socks are wet, my feet are wet. I have got one dry pair of everything. and I'm not going to change into anything until I know I can get the other stuff clean. So I set off from Bellingham about, I suppose, 12:30, 1:15. Long, long, long trek up a B road. And once you get out of Bellingham, I mean, you're really in the sort of high stuff with the tusky grass, and it's just you, the sheep and the curlews and the odd passing car, and followed increasingly small yellow roads up and up and up into the wilds. Oh, on the way, yes, I met a shepherd. It was definitely an authentic shepherd, because not only was he riding a quad with two border collies on it and four ewes and a few lambs in the back on a trailer, but he was wearing a deer stalker, which was tremendously gratifying to me. And he had that wonderful, authentic Borders accent, which is ought to be somewhere between Scottish and Geordie, but isn't. I'm just pausing because I have a feeling I might have just been midged. It's really a bit cold for midge. I don't see any around. Anyway, yes, so I carried on and on and on and on. So 15 miles after Stonehof, 15, 16, I'm now in the depths of Kielder Forest. I've gone, I suppose, about 150 yards off the main track and made a unconventional bivvy under some larch. It's boggy, it's raining, but I've rigged the tarp over the tent and me. I've brewed a cup of tea, and there's a midge, little bastard. I'm not going to be long out tonight. I think I'm going to make me supper fairly quickly and turn in and try and stay warm over the night. There's no wind in here, of course, but the next couple of days don't bode well weatherwise. Tomorrow, high up in the Cheviots, we'll just have to see what it's like. Anyway, it's quite strange to be wild camping in the middle of Kielder Forest. It's very, very quiet. Wednesday evening, 16th. It stopped raining. It's about 6:30, 6:45. Difficult to say. Another excellent supper. Rice, fish, tomatoes, vegetable puree, a couple of cloves of garlic, squeeze a lemon. I have to say that stove is just fantastic. It cooks rice in 10 minutes flat from start. And it's just amazing. And now it's drying my socks. My socks are suspended on two sticks above the remnants of the dying fire. So what more can you want? And it's very tranquil here, if a bit soggy. Tomorrow could be grim weather-wise. We're promised more of the same. I'm quite low on water. And there's absolutely nothing in the way of shop or anything like that tomorrow. Cross the A68 and that's it. And then it'll be up to top of Cocketdale, effectively Chew Green, where the Cocket rises, and then over to Woden Law. If there's anything, any sort of weather at all, the views will be fantastic. And at least tomorrow's only a 20-kilometre day, so if I get any opportunities to dry stuff or chill out, I can take my time, because 12 or 13 miles is nothing really. The pack won't be so heavy tomorrow because I'm going to eat my pasties. So he's looking forward to some proper sleep tonight. Friday, May the 18th. It's about 5:45 in the morning. Saturday lunchtime, 19th. I've made good progress this morning. I must say it's beautiful country, the Borders. I've had Trimontium, the three mounds of the Ildon Hills in my sight most of the morning. Had a short stretch of the A68 going towards Ancram, which was a bit tedious, but other than that, it's been minor roads and tracks and pretty woods, and I've stopped for lunch about 12:45. I'm actually sitting on a footbridge over a ford, and a woman's just walked past with her big black wet Labrador, saying that not so long ago a taxi was swept away in the ford here. She says that's about as exciting as it gets round here. That's one of the virtues of this area. There are cows sitting happily in a field. They're sitting down, but I don't think that presages rain. I think we're okay today now. There's plenty of cloud. It's quite high and it's fairly bright. And I'm just really enjoying walking in the dry and, getting the best out of what walking offers. May, of course, is the perfect month, as long as it's not raining. Most of the trees are out. There are still ash trees coming out, beech hedges, which, of course, feature the borders, just coming into leaf. Bluebells, I've seen snake's head fritillary, lots of forget-me-nots, all sorts of things going on. And it's just a very pretty, pleasant place to spend lunchtime. I must have done well this morning because I'm only about 6 miles away from Selkirk, which means I should be there by about 3 or 4. I've got to do some shopping for tomorrow because tomorrow's Sunday. And I'm probably wild camping tomorrow night, so I've got to buy enough for lunch and supper for Sunday. But I want to have a shower, get my tent pitched up in time to go and find somewhere to watch the big game tonight, Chelsea-Bayern Munich in the final of the Champions League. Most important. Good progress. Sunday 20th. I'm just walking up the last few steps to a hill called the Three Brethren. There are three man-made conical cairns here. And it's a most glorious day after a very cold, piercing night when there was a frost on the tent. And, oh, goodness me, the view is really sensational. From up here, to the east, the Eildon Hills again. And, the whole of the border's just spread out before me in this wonderful, dappled sunlight. I just come from Selkirk. I left about 7:30 this morning. And, perfect walking. Absolutely glorious. This is the sort of zone you hope for when you're going on a long walk. After a few days, your limbs don't really ache. The pack doesn't feel like it exists. Doesn't really matter how heavy or light it is. You get into this zone where the miles don't count. You don't really think about destination anymore. You begin to kind of exist wholly in the present. And especially on a stunning trail like this. Broad green sweeps in the southern uplands. With the most sumptuous views. Days like these, you could just walk forever. Perfect. Well, it's morning of Monday 21st, about 8 o'clock. I'm munching on last night's pizza, which makes a very good breakfast. It's actually quite a good pizza. Anchovy and pepperoni. Improbable. And yet, rather like the banana and Bombay mixed baguette. It has something of the trail food quality about it. I'm at the Rosetta campsite in Peebles, which sounds appalling, but actually it's a really good campsite. It's on the estate of a big mansion, rather elegant, late 18th, early 19th century mansion. Lots of lime trees. It overlooks the valley. They have a laundry here, God bless them. So I managed to get all my clothes clean. Had a really good shower. It's proper, serious shower in there. It doesn't cost any extra. Peebles is all right. It's much livelier than Selkirk or Jedburgh. It obviously has an economics that works. More importantly, it has shops and banks, and it has an outdoor shop, which I'm hanging around for, which is why I'm starting a bit late this morning. There's something in this. I think bits of pastry brush in the pizza. Anyway, no harm done. It's not like Nelson's rat hairs in the butter. So today, bigger across the John Buckham Way. About 25, 27 Ks. But that's okay. It's Monday morning. Just passing the last house in Peebles. And out onto the John Buckham Way, which would have made my mum rather happy, she being a great fan of John Buckham. And I've just had a really interesting conversation with the guy in the outdoor shop. I stopped for a coffee and listened to the local chit-chat about the weather and so on. And then went to the outdoor shop where, blessedly, they had a really good hydration pack. So I'm now hands-free and fully swagged up with water, which is fantastic. But the interesting conversation was that I noted to him my observation that people seem to be surviving the recession rather well, and it looked to be economically functional. Ah, he said, well, the thing about Peebles is most of the businesses are owned by individuals, or at least locals. Local companies. He said, there is one large retail space at the top of the town, he says, that's been empty for years. The business ran out of money some years ago and was bought up by an asset-stripping firm, private equity, and passed into the hands of the bank. And the bank would rather not let the property at all for use as a business than to let it below a value which would compromise its asset value on their books. And you couldn't have a more savage indictment of how capital, or the use of capital, is absolutely failing. And even in the middle of a recession, they don't get it. It makes me really quite cross. Same reason, you know, why on earth would you ever repossess a home when you're far better having someone living in it and paying something? Well, it rather says everything, I think. Anyway, here we are. I'm just about to turn off the road and onto the John Buchan Way, marked with a nice green and gold sign, and a rather elegant set of cast iron gates, which, if my pack wasn't rather heavy, I might just lift and take home with me. And straight out the edge of town onto the moors. One of the things that's come to my mind during this walk, sort of thing that only comes to one's mind during a long walk, is this. One of the things you never do on a long walk is you don't wait for anything. You have no appointments to keep. You get to the place where you're going to get when you get there. You leave when you leave. You stop when you stop. You're not keeping appointments. You're not waiting on anybody. And I was trying to think of a sort of landscape equivalent to that. And of course, well, you come upon a crossroads and you realise that's the place in the landscape where waiting happens, because if before the invention of clocks one was appointing to meet somebody, you could either say, I'll meet you at sunup. More likely, you'd say, I'll meet you where this road crosses that road. And of course, inns are always conveniently situated where roads cross each other, because that is the one place in the traditional world where appointments are kept. I'll meet you at the site of the, well, of course, in the case of the Lord of the Rings, at the site of the sign of the prancing pony, and that's where you wait until your rendezvous arrives. Of course, when you're walking on your own, you have no such cares or worries. But there's always a temptation to pause at a crossing point, partly to check your bearings and make sure you're not shooting off in the wrong direction, but partly because there is a natural rhythm to crossing places. They cross for a reason. Paths meet for a reason, either because there's a crossing of a river or because there's a natural grain to the land that inclines places to meet at right angles or whatever. Anyway, those are the ramblings of a foolish rambler, probably 8 days into early onset dementia. I'm on the first part of the John Buchan Way. It's a really stunning landscape. The division between upland and lowland is perfectly and clearly etched in squared off dry stone walls which divide the upland pastures and forest from the improved pastures of the lowlands. And by God, they've improved the pastures of the Tweed Lowlands. I mean, they're absolutely immaculate in the flatness of the green and the quality of the sheep they breed here. And perfect walking. Monday the 21st. I've stopped for lunch, 1 o'clock, in the valley of the Eastern Burn. And I'm almost sorry that I have to plough on, really, because I could quite happily while away the afternoon. I've just taken my shoes and socks off for a bit to dry my feet and give me sore bits a bit of a break, but I shall move on again. I've got another 10 miles to do after lunch, so it's quite a long stint today. Tuesday the 22nd, I suppose it's about 9 o'clock. I got up just a little after 6, was regaled during the night with tawny owls, and then as I worked this morning were cuckoos, oyster catchers and curlews. Feeling pretty knackered after yesterday, where I must have done 23 miles at least, which is too many really. My knees and my upper bits of my legs are hurting, toes are sore, neck stiff, but I'm hoping to get to Lanark before lunch. I've already done 5 miles this morning. We're out of the hills now. It's sort of rolling countryside, rather pretty, you know, very green, very pastoral, lots of cows, sheep, farms. I've just crossed over a little tributary of the Clyde. The main thing is to get to the footbridge across the Clyde, without which I cannot get to Lanark. And then it's down the path on the northeast bank of the Clyde, and then through New Lanark, where I might be able to get a drink and a snack. Cake, chocolate cake. Can you imagine? There will be a tea room at New Lanark, and I will be able to get chocolate cake there, and I will eat it, double helping. And then it's only another kilometre or so further south along the riverbank to the campsite, so I'll set up there and then go into town and get... I run out of plasters. What a twat to fix me feet with. After that, I shall be able to just rest for the afternoon, which is what me poor old body needs. Well, it's 3:20, Thursday, 24th of May. I'm 51, and here I am at the Craig Duin, just across the road. And inside here somewhere will be Tall Paul waiting for me with a very well-earned pint of beer, I hope.
My dear chap. You got the drinks in.
Well done.
Oh, God. Enough of that, eh?
After that last day's walk, ending on Paisley's mile-long Neilston Road, bus roaring, shop-jostled and dazzling to my grass-fed eyes, a shower and a comfortable bed are fine rewards. But I feel the absence of the rucksack on my back, and even hoisting my friend's young son onto my shoulders for a stroll in the park is not enough to bind me to the earth again. I tell tall tales and open my birthday card. On the train home, I stare out of the window and watch the land go by too fast for the human eye to take in. For the first time in 11 days, I reflect on age, rerun the trail in my mind. I notice how alive I feel and wonder what it would be like to walk forever.
That was Max Adams. You can find out more about Max on his website at www.theambulist.co.uk. The Ambulist, all one word. And that concludes episode 41, which was recorded by Max Adams and produced by Kona McPhee. Coming up in episode 42, the non-fiction writer Kate Cahoon speaks with Carol Angier about the pleasures of rich source material and her need to be surprised while writing, the trials of ever-changing writing technology, and how her career as an author was started by a strawberry crinoline. We hope you'll join us. You've been listening to Writers Aloud, a podcast brought to you by writers for the Royal Literary Fund in London. To subscribe to podcasts and to find out more about the work of the RLF, please visit our website at www.rlf.org.uk. Thanks for listening.